Wait until we got the mics.
Hey. Oh, okay.
Hello.
Say hi. I said say hi.
Oops, sorry. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Into the mic, woman.
I haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, well, that's because we moved.
We did a lot this last, year? We haven't posted in a long, long time.
And we're sorry for that.
This is our apology recording.
We're apologizing, and we are coming back to you with brand new shows.
We've already recorded a couple.
Yeah, and we're ready to put them out. But we wanted to give you a little update on what happened to us.
We haven't talked to y'all since we lived in downtown Portland.
Downtown Portland. Yay.
It's gotten real sketchy there.
Gotten real sketchy. We had to move.
We didn't have to. We decided to move outside of Portland.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, a little outside of Portland, which we thought would be fun.
Which we thought would be very nice.
And it was not.
We went to a nicest suburban area.
Yeah, it was a very cool neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
What you think of a neighborhood in Portland would be.
Yeah, and it wasn't fun.
No, the house ended up being, bordering on condemned.
Yeah,
even though it was like $2,000 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. The neighbors were trying to...
There were some drug addicts in the there were some drug addicts in the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
Very much had their eyes on us.
Yeah, very big time because we were new in the neighborhood and ended up.
So we had a couple break-ins.
Yep, and I ended up in the hospital.
And
that sucked.
We're gonna keep that to ourselves, but just update and say that you've made a great recovery.
Yep, pretty much a full recovery. It's been a little bit of a wild ride, but I am fully recovered, so everything's cool.
And so, because of that, we kind of decided to move closer to family.
Yeah. We decided to...
get out of Oregon.
Go live on our boat.
Mm-hmm.
And the boat was too small.
Well, yeah, we only realized that after our, fur babies moved in with us.
Yeah, that was...
And we spent more than a week there.
And then we're like, oh my God, we cannot live here.
Yeah.
So we sold the boat. And luckily, the owner of the boat who had sold it to me, or to us, he wanted to buy it back. So he bought it back, and we got a bigger boat. Yay!
Yeah, so we've been chilling in, I'd say Southern California.
For,
quite a few months. We learned how to sail. We never sailed before.
Oh, no. And we just took it out and just went, fuck it, let's do it.
Yeah, we took it all the way out to Catalina.
Catalina Island, yeah. From Long Beach to Catalina, and then Catalina up to Oxnard.
If you're motoring, how long of it is a trip?
If you're motoring from Long Beach to Catalina, it's only about 3.5 hours. It took us 2 days.
Ended up becoming a 2-day sail for us newbies.
But it was super fun. We had a lot of fun doing
it. We only lost power for a couple hours.
Yep, and that's because we didn't realize there was a fuse.
There was a certain fuse that I blew.
Yep, and luckily we were able to fix that.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah, and then we went through a storm.
Yeah, we got stuck on a storm on the other side of Catalina.
Yep, near Avalon.
And we almost lost the dinghy.
It actually did go under.
It did go under the water,
We were lucky it came back up. And
yeah. And with our motor and our gasoline.
And our gasoline and the motor. And yeah, it was fun. It was a very big learning experience for us.
Yeah.
It was fun. And then we anchored or moored. Moored, if you don't know what that means, there's this ball that you pull up a rope and you tie it to the front of the boat. And then you have to follow it to the back of the boat. And then you tie it to the back of the boat.
And somehow it keeps you in a straight
line.
Beyond my ability to comprehend science, it keeps you in a straight line.
It works, though. It works.
It works.
It did work. And we were able to sleep that night on the rolling waves of the storm.
Yeah. The animals were not happy.
They weren't happy. And then we made it to Oxnard, and we've been here now 11 days.
Mm-hmm.
We spent 1 day out at sea, and that was not fun. And then we decided to anchor inside at port at the...
Wainimi.
Well, no? We're not in Port Hueneme. Port Hueneme is right next to us. And those of you who are looking at a map trying to spell that, it is not spelled like
at all how you.
It's H something 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 something.
It's like H and then the same three letters over and over a couple times.
It looks like Hueneme or something like that. Yeah. But it's Port Hueneme is south of us. We are in
Channel Islands.
Channel Islands. Yeah, we're in the Channel Islands. We're gonna be here for a little bit. We might be headed up to San Francisco. We're gonna try to sell this boat now.
Yeah.
We love the boat, but we are ready to move on to our next adventure.
Yeah, it's just a lot of... The one thing I never expected with the living on the boat was how expensive just, like, a slip is.
Yeah, exactly. And what you need to do to get into a slip.
And how there's just a lot of red
oh
tape.
Oh my God, red tape is an understatement. Yeah, if you want to live aboard a slip in Southern California, you're on a waiting list, and sometimes it's up to 10 years.
And you have to pay to be on the waiting list.
And you have to pay to be on the waiting
list.
Blows
my mind.
Yeah. And you have to be in, you have to have a slip in the marina that you want to be on the waiting list for.
Yeah, so you have to keep your boat there, but then you can't live on it. Mm-hmm. And so if you do want to live aboard, you have to just store your boat there until they one day, which most of the time takes about a little over a year.
Sometimes up to 10 years.
Up to 10 years.
The one was 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to leave it there and then just wait for them to call you.
Yeah, and just wait. You just wait for them to tell you, hey, we got a liveaboard slip now and you can have it.
So we're possibly looking at becoming landlubbers again.
Yeah, it's a bittersweet thing.
No.
I'm liking the idea of not having to anchor out at sea.
Or worried where we're going to put our home.
Exactly, where we're going to put our home. And I like the idea of possibly living either here in Oxnard or in Camarillo or San Francisco, wherever our road may take us. Where the winds may go. But I am looking forward to not having to rely on anchorages and marinas and you're only allowed to be here 10 days or...
Yeah.
You know, it just, and the money you have to pay up front, and it's just so
everything's up front. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
like,
it sucks.
Like I said, it's just the best way to describe it is a ton of red tape. So unless you're living in Greece, living in sailboats are expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
And hard.
If you want to live on a sailboat, go to the East Coast. It's a lot cheaper. The West Coast, you'd think, has a lot of marinas and stuff, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have a lot of protected waters, so it's a lot more expensive. And then especially California, it sucks because they have such power shortages. They only let so many boats have so many marinas have liveaboard slips.
Yeah.
And even Washington and Oregon is the same way.
So once again, it's just all about that red tape.
Yep. It's all about the red tape. But anyways,
That's our little quick expert.
Yeah, that was what was going on with us. So we're living on our sailboat right now. We're putting it up for sale. And we are looking at...
We're excited about not having the reins on our future.
Yeah. We're having a baby.
not confirmed yet.
Not confirmed yet, but I believe Maddie is pregnant.
Using the holiday spirit,
manifesting a future. I put baby juice inside of her, and we're going to have a baby.
You're not using baby juice on the podcast.
Oh yeah, no, totally baby juice inside of her. But anyways, this next show coming up is with two really really cool people that we have just met tonight.
I just met tonight
and instantly bonded with. He's probably one of the coolest guys I think I've ever met. Became probably one of my best friends ever now. Cool as fuck.
You totally take over the conversation.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You can hear me and my friend just kind of chill in the background and our own little mumble conversation.
But it was totally worth it. We had a great
time. We get very deep
time.
And share a lot of personal things.
We go way into it. So hopefully you guys like this show. Let us know what you think.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Waiting for so long.
Hopefully you guys really do like the show, let us know what you think, and drop us a line at abeerwithfriends@gmail.com.
And we'll be more active.
Yeah, we're going to be a lot more active. We're going to put more shows out. I think we're going to put a lot more shows out with these guys.
I think our New Year's resolution is putting out more shows.
Yeah, our New Year's resolution is putting out more shows.
It's not a promise,
shows.
But it's a...
It's not a promise, but we're going to try.
We're going to try. We're going to give it the good old college try.
Yeah, we're pretty sure we're going to graduate, but not looking like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know us. We'll do what we can. Love you.
Have a great night.
Have a great night.
And enjoy listening.
Yep. All right. Later, dudes.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. Bye. Say bye.
Bye.
Right. Bro, but see, yo, but it's recording. A lot of pain. It's a lot of pain and stuff.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
it's a lot of shit.
People, we're don't... recording. Hey, we're here. Friends. We haven't done this in a long time. So, hello, everybody. We got our friends here.
What's good?
My brother, introduce yourself.
My name is Gio.
Gio.
And I met my boy, and he's the realest one in the world.
I love this.
And my best friend. And as long as we are best friends for life, he's going to be my best man.
I love it.
This and is who so do we cool. have next?
We got Kels on the mic. What's good?
What's up? What's up?
What up, Kel?
This is going to be a good show.
And I'm the one and only, Maddie.
Maddie.
One and only.
Here we go.
Get it late.
So.
We haven't been on here in a long time.
No, we haven't done this in a long time. This is actually pretty cool.
Little life updates and introductions?
I'm moving that close to you just so.
So I can lean back and be comfy?
Yeah.
New introductions is me and Maddie.
Yeah.
And her me wonderful and husband.
And me and him.
And yeah, yes, you and your new brother.
We're like a round table.
This is the Camelot round table. We're all going to just be around.
The Camarillo.
Camarillo round table. What?
We moved out of Oregon.
We did.
And down to California. Well,
have you guys lived in Camarillo the whole time?
How did you see my
where are you from originally?
Moreno Valley.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's right. You told me that.
Yeah, I was born in Orlando.
That's right, because we were talking about me being from San Bernardino. And
which is gnarly, which is super gnarly. It's crazy. Dude. It's a big place, but it's not a lot of people you meet out here. And the 805.
I was telling you about running through 8th Street.
Shoot. Is this all on the podcast?
Yes,
oh, yeah.
It is.
It's all on the podcast. They're going to see it. They're going to hear it. But they're not going to feel it.
And only we can know how that feels.
So we're gonna keep it PG and rated R at the same time.
Mostly because this is all recorded.
Yeah, fuck it.
Oh,
who the fuck cares? Yeah. It's not like they can come and...
just nothing incriminating.
We're just telling stories, fictional stories.
It's all fake.
You know?
Nothing's real.
These are campfire stories.
It's all LA lingo.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's badass.
People from LA aren't
going
to get it.
These are all campfire stories.
Yeah. So get ready for some thrills, because we're going to tell you how we feel. And chills.
Thrills and chills. I love that.
So let's all just take a shot, take a drink to life.
Cheers.
Drink to life. We're drinking. And welcome to A Beer with Friends, guys.
Yes.
So, everybody, we're drinking vodka this time.
How do I say this?
Oh, shit.
Try to pronounce that.
Stolichnaya. Stolichnaya.
Like a pass.
So, no beer tonight.
Stolichnaya.
Just liquor.
Stolen China.
Liquor.
Stolen China. That was fucking awesome.
Man, that's odd.
I love it. Stolen China.
Stolen
China. We're going with that. Stolen China.
If it wasn't stone, I'd probably.
You want another?
Hell yeah, brother.
All right. Stole in China.
Oh shit. The stole ice machine needs water.
Oh shit. The keep ice going. Machine needs water.
Yeah, we're on the water. Okay.
Shot or full glass?
You guys want to pause? We're going.
I'm doing whatever you're doing.
No, we're talking.
Oh, okay, yeah, by all means.
Here. Walk it like
a shot. Oh, that's actually glass.
Okay.
Oh, that's perfect for me,
bro.
Yeah. Right in here.
And we'll give you some ice too.
Hey, we could rap on a podcast if you guys want to hear us.
Oh shit! Hell yeah. Let's do a song. Let's first off, let's introduce how we did this. We started by feeling the rhythm and the vibe of how we actually felt.
Just speaking what's real and fulfilling the pain and you could look at someone's eyes and tell the genuineness, and you could honestly tell who's real and who isn't, because a lot of people will talk, and the more you talk,
the more you feel out how you actually, you can see in the pain in the eyes, you can actually feel it behind how they're actually feeling. You can see it in their muscles. You can see it in their movement. You can see it in the way they act. You can feel the actual rhythm of their bodies, of their sound, of their voice.
The way they walk.
Yeah. It's all about reading body language.
Exactly.
Body language, exactly.
You can feel it. You know if a person's real or full of shit.
Chest up, chin out.
Exactly.
Shit.
You can see if somebody's walking down the street and they look like they're just full of shit. You can tell it.
You always can tell that bullshit person.
You can tell that bullshit person. Yeah. But when a person's walking, I don't know. If I saw you walking down the street, I would know.
It's all about how you carry yourself and your demeanor.
Exactly.
Everybody has an energy and a vibe. Real. And if you're smart enough, you'll be able to pick up on it.
That's perfect.
And you can pick up on it quick, by the way. You don't have to say any words. You can just look at the person and really feel who they are.
Exactly.
Yeah. And most people are just too dumb to pick up on it. And hence why we have all these dumbasses in the world.
I love that.
And I met him tonight. And when I saw him walking up, chest out, chin up.
Yeah.
And he walks like a grown spiritual man. And he might not be spiritual. I don't know, because I haven't went that deep with him. But we met probably 30 minutes ago. And this is my brother, because he's like another brother from another mother. But we got the same dad.
And that's true. We got the same dad. We might look different, but we aren't.
We aren't.
We're the same person. We're the same soul.
It's a lot of pain in this, though.
Exactly. There is a lot of pain. But the thing is, with that pain, we can grow. And with that pain,
how do we grow?
Yeah.
We can feel it with each other. We can let it go. It's one of those, it can be that I've felt it so long and you felt it so long. It's time to release it. But the way we release it is to each other. You can keep a part of it because it's who you are. You can keep a bit of it.
Is it weird to want to feel the pain sometimes?
No, not at all, actually, because sometimes I'll be sitting there lying in bed and I lost some really dear people.
You lost your brothers.
I lost my brothers. I lost people that I went through
do everything for you.
Exactly. They would jump in front of a fucking bullet.
You lost and real brothers.
They did, literally.
Yeah.
And I lost that, and it's hard to replace that.
It's never going to be replaced.
But in a sense, I feel that with you.
You can feel
it. It's a weird connection, but I feel it with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because hurt people, but if you're hurt and that person's hurt, we just feel a vibe. And we know it's real.
Exactly.
And it's just the way they speak, the way he was speaking to me really taught me a lot. He taught me how to really think deep in my mind. And now my mind is really thinking about how to live this life and not let it live me. And that's his words. That was the best thing I ever heard.
That's my favorite saying in the world. I made that up when I was 16 years old. And I did that accidentally. I was in French class. And my teacher had said something that I misunderstood, and I heard it as, don't let life live you, you live life and make it your bitch. When I heard her say that, that's not what she said. She was like, oh, I didn't say that. I was like, that's what I heard. And that's the motto I've lived my entire life, is don't let life live you, you live life, make it your bitch. Because if you let life live you, you're going to walk down the street. And life is nothing but a big sidewalk, okay? Life is nothing but a big sidewalk. When you step in dog shit, walking down a sidewalk, what do? Do you complain about it? Do you sit there and you complain and you fucking take your shoes off and you're like, what the fuck? I stepped in dog shit. No.
Some people do, though.
But the best thing to do is go over to the grass.
And wipe it off.
Wipe it off. And keep walking.
I mean, I do that almost
keep
every day.
Keep walking. But yeah, exactly. But think about it in your life.
Right.
Keep walking. Don't stop and complain. Don't think about it. Wipe it off and keep walking. Just keep walking, because you live life. Don't let life live you.
But at times in life,
it's hard.
It's hard to grieve when you have nobody. And
it is. It's hard as shit.
When you grieve by yourself, living only with your mother, being your dad and your mom, teaching me how to be a man and everything. You're
absolutely right.
It's like, don't ever let anyone tell you how to grieve, but help keep your head up, even though you wanted to stay down. And my head was down for a while, but then I learned my girl kicked me in my ass. It really made me think the bills is still going to get paid. Life's still going to move on.
Yep.
And I just have to figure out how to compartmentalize things in my life.
But also, and, when this is, it is very important to take that time, you know, to feel those feelings.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you bottle that shit up, like, it doesn't do nothing.
You don't ever want to bottle that shit up. Mm-hmm. You need to feel it. Mm-hmm. You have to feel it.
You have to cry.
But also
you have
to do yourself.
Exactly. You have to cry. Mm-hmm. You have to feel that. Mm-hmm. I went through something that was traumatic. You went through something that was traumatic. We all went through something that was traumatic in our lives. You might not know it, but you went through something that was traumatic. So what do? You sit, you wipe the shit from your shoes. Doesn't mean that you keep walking and forget it. You keep walking to live life. You live life. You make life your bitch, but you still feel that shit on your shoes. It still sucks. Mm. I still feel it. I still get those crazy
chills.
I still get shit. I still get mad. I lost the best friend I ever had, and she'll tell you, I'll still every once in a while I'll get these PTSD moments where I call out my best friend's name, and I don't realize I'm doing it. I do it
because I can't believe he's not here. You can't believe
exactly.
He's not here.
I can't.
But he's grown so much to the point he's sat with himself long enough with these emotions and has figured out a way to not focus so much directly on them when there's nothing else to think about. He's moving with his life. He still holds it. He's
live my life.
Yeah, he's holding on to it. He's going to take it with him everywhere he goes.
Exactly.
It's just
it defines
now.
Me. It's made me grow.
It made you stronger. It made you who you are today.
You lost somebody who was extremely important to you, your mother.
Everybody.
My grandfather was my best friend. And you can ask anybody in my family. Mm-hmm. They say my grandfather was the biggest asshole in the world. I thought my grandfather was the best man in the world.
I will always hear stories, you know, about him.
Yeah, he was the best man I ever met. I loved my grandpa.
Bought an entire acre of extra land just to build him
an Indian fort.
But see, that's because he felt who you really were.
Yep.
Exactly. Even though you said he had kids and they didn't get along, but he got along with you.
Yeah.
It says a lot. It says more than anything.
Well, as you get older, you learn from your mistakes and you learn how to be different.
But he was still kind of an asshole to my brothers and everybody. He just loved. For some reason, me and him had a connection.
You guys had that bond.
We had that bond. So when he passed away, I lost a friend. I lost somebody.
Did you feel lost?
I felt lost big time.
How'd you find yourself?
I found myself by thinking about him and thinking about how he would travel through life. And thinking about what would he do in this situation?
Like your sidewalk thing. You're walking on a sidewalk, but you got a destination to go.
You got somewhere to go.
You got to keep going.
You might not know where that is, but you got
to
keep going.
Might be to the grocery store.
You got to keep walking.
Might be to death.
You got
to
keep walking because you don't know where that sidewalk's taking you, or you might have a goal, but you got to keep walking. That goal for me for a while was a boat.
What are you going to do? Just sit?
I got a boat. Now it's San Francisco, but maybe it's not. You know, if I sold this boat and I was able to stay here, I would, because now I got a really, really good friend.
Oh, we didn't tell the listeners that we moved.
Oh yeah, listeners.
We'll
by the way,
we're in
we're in Oxnard, California. So there you go. But my life, Maddie's life, our sidewalk has been extremely windy. But we keep walking that life.
Of course.
And we keep seeing our goals change.
Mm-hmm. We you guys help each other grow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our plans change.
My sidewalk has fucking grown exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if that's the right word.
Yeah,
but
I would use that
for If it isn't a word, you better figure it out.
It should be.
He just made one.
The way he's explaining this, you guys should all get it because it's the things that he's been through that define him and define all of us.
But you have to think about the stuff that define you.
Everything that we've been through.
Yeah.
Well, that's made us stronger. And
it's not only made us stronger, like, it's made us us.
And if I do think in the same way, too, like, my mom would want us soaking over this shit. Like, you know, like,
she'd want you to live. She wants you to have that good life.
Not just live. That's what everyone wants. You gotta live good.
Not just live, but just, like, the way she would deal with things. Like, how you talk about, you know, visiting her at her gravesite. Like,
I still can't do it.
But even at that, like,
walk with you, bro.
I just feel like she's not there.
But she's like, not. How would
I feel like that with my grandpa?
We were talking about, like, how would she even think about us?
Oh yeah, I feel that. There, no, like, I'm actually like, with
I'm
you
not,
on that.
You know, I'm not there. Like,
she's. I talk to her
every just day.
Every day I talk to her. You know, every day that's I look at her picture and say good morning, Mom. I'm going to work because that's what she wanted me to do was be a hardworking man. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, and she just. I know that people talk to me and they send their condolences and things of that nature, but.
Feels empty sometimes.
It feels really empty because they only are around when moments like that happen or if you're winning. But when you're down, your best friends that
they're
are
trying
with you
to lift you left. Up. They're trying to lift you up. They want to be there. They
or
want
they think
to.
That you need
they
space
think it's
or
something.
It's,
but it's just the biggest mood. Thing is you need your mom.
Right.
That is the real thing someone's ever said to me.
You need your mom. Here's the bad thing. Your mom
is replace that. No.
Here. You is always going to be with you. You know why?
It's going to be in everything you do.
Because she's in your heart. She raised you. Everything you do is something that your mom put in you.
That's why you carry her with you forever.
Exactly. She will never
It's just be one
gone.
Day it'll hurt a little less.
And it might not ever hurt a little less. I mean, with me, I lost my brother. I lost my grandfather.
Lost your team.
Lost my team. And with me, my team, it still hurts a lot.
You're so strong.
Well, that's the thing is I don't think I'm strong. I think I'm the type of person who looks and says, this is what defines me. This is what made me me.
But who it could turn some people to be to see who you are is amazing. Yeah. And you are.
Some people grow them. Some people destroy them. Exactly. What do you want
to
be?
I haven't told this story to a lot of people, and Maddie knows the story, and I might actually edit this out, but I'm going to tell you the story of how my brother died. This 1727, so we're going to say 1730. I might actually edit this out because I don't know if I want the listeners to hear
this. Is this your real brother?
This is my real brother. Yeah, he was my blood brother. No, he was younger than me.
I don't know.
I'm the oldest. But
oh my God.
You have a lot of pain aside.
No, I do. But he rode my motorcycle with my helmet on. And he was killed because they thought he was me.
Wow.
Okay. I was part of a club.
A group of friends.
Thank you.
Yeah. A group of brothers.
It was a brotherhood.
And another group of brotherhood didn't like my brotherhood, and they thought I was the one who was riding the bike. Didn't have any jacket on or anything identifying him, but my bike was very noticeable.
It was very distinct.
Very distinct. Thank you. It was a custom bike. I built it myself. And the helmet was also extremely custom.
And also yours.
It was also mine.
Honestly, viewers, I'm just shocked by this man. Like, I don't even know if I could take all the stress has on his shoulders. Because he moves like there's no stress on his shoulders. Mm. And he showed me so much tonight. And knowledge that people have said so much to me about my mother passing, But he said something that was just so real. Just some real shit that I don't want to hear people checking up on me to ask if I'm okay or if anything. I'd rather you tell me the fucking truth. Like, my mom isn't in that hole. Mm-hmm. You know, I speak to her daily. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a hard thing to go through. But what he's been through shows me that you can conquer anything.
You can't.
And that's what keeps my faith going. You know what?
And here's the thing.
Keep walking on the sidewalk.
Here's the thing. And like she just said, you keep walking. When my brother died, my grandfather had just passed away. I think it was about 6 months before. And then my brother passed away. And then my best friend, he got shot. And then my other best friend, he got shot. And then I went in the army. And then a whole bunch of my friends were killed. And then 9/11 happened. And then we were out there. And
you were in 9/11?
Or we were already in the army. I was already in the army by then.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
You have been like 3 or 4 years in the army by then.
96 is when I went in.
Oh, you went in.
You were really in the field. You were really out there.
Yeah, I was the first ones in Iraq and Afghanistan. I was the first team. I was the second person to set foot in Afghanistan when we went over there. My best friend, best friend in the entire world. And the reason why he was is because of this. We went through basic training together. And then after we went through basic training, he went to the Rangers and I was pissed at him because I had to stand up. When he got to get on the truck and go to Ranger school. And then our airborne captain stood up and said, does anybody else want to go to Ranger school? And I was like, I do. He was like, it's that way, 22 miles. Have fun. And I, my dumbass, had bought a civilian bag. So I had my army bag on me. I had my civilian bag on me. And I had my rucksack on me. And I had to run 22 miles.
Which was how much of a total weight?
Oh, it was like almost 250 pounds of weight on me. And I ran all the way to the Ranger Battalion.
What got you through it to make it to go to the Army? Oh, shit.
Because,
stubborn.
I'm a dumbass. I don't quit.
We have that in common.
You dare him to do anything and he will fucking do it.
I'll do it.
No matter what.
But I got all the way there. Colonel happened to be outside and he was like, he heard. The captain had called him from the airborne school and called the colonel and said, hey, there's a kid who said he was going to run the whole way and you need to wait for him.
You need to make sure that he didn't die.
Yeah, pretty much. So the colonel made all the recruits stand outside.
You ran 22 miles?
22 miles, yeah.
Straight?
Straight. Didn't all stop. The way there. Didn't stop. When I got there, the colonel had all the recruits. We were called RIP babies, Ranger Initial Pre-Training, RIP babies. And they were all standing outside. He made them stand there and wait for me. And when I came up, I was about to pass out. And I dropped my civvy bag. I dropped my rucksack. I dropped my army bag. And I went and I stood in line. And he goes, you're no longer a RIP baby. Go get in the Ranger line. You're starting Ranger school Monday.
And that's what you call solidarity. That's what you call brothers. That's what you call.
It was badass.
Determination. Shit, it is badass.
Determination.
Yep. But then discipline. I went to Ranger school.
Fucking stubbornness, whatever you want to call it.
He's so stubborn.
In which way? I'm stubborn. In which
ways? All the ways.
Well, I think I'm stubborn when it comes to doing something. I wanted this boat. We got this boat. Mm-hmm. I wanted to sail. I have no idea how to sail.
Our first sail, was supposed to be only a day.
Oh, no, I took the shit out. I fucking put the sails up. I fucking learned how to sail on the fucking ocean. We're going.
That doesn't sound like stubbornness. That sounds like a man.
But that's what I mean. That's a good kind of stubbornness.
That's the best.
Determination's another word for stubbornness.
I look at it as determination and willing to do it no matter what the cost. I will figure it out. I will learn it. Even if I have to learn it on my own, I will learn it.
Well, you also learn better that way anyways, by figuring it out yourself.
That's the only way to really kind of get through life is to make mistakes. And
if you say that you don't make a mistake in your life, you're a fucking liar.
Oh, no, I've made more mistakes in my life than I care to admit. But it's helped me learn, it's helped me grow, and it's helped me keep walking on that sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. It's helped you help other people.
It's helped me not only help other people, but help myself.
Yeah, which can be the worst. It could be like the biggest enemy of all people. I mean, self care is talked about so much nowadays, and that's because it's fucking needed.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the biggest things you can do.
Bubble baths or therapy. Self needed.
The biggest things you can do is stop. On that sidewalk of life does not mean you have to continuously walk. Sometimes you have to stop. You have to look at yourself, and you have to say, how can I take care of myself so I can keep walking? Do I need new shoes? Do I need a coat?
Do I need a nap?
Do I need a nap?
Do I need a sandwich? Somebody to give me a hug?
Do I need a hug?
But what if you have nothing there?
Then you stop.
Look around. Because I bet you'll see more. You'll see more than you expect to.
If it's not there, wait. Because it will be.
Give life a chance to catch up.
Yeah, give life a chance to catch up. I love that. That's actually really cool. Give life a chance to catch up. Because you might be in a place where you just need a hug.
I always do, bro. I feel like I'm in a dark hole.
You know, you're supposed to have 12 hugs a day to mentally
mature.
I got
a ladder for you to climb out.
Did you know that?
You're going to climb out of that hole and I'm going to walk with you. Because I'm on that same sidewalk you are. I'm walking my life. You're walking yours. Our sidewalks might not stay together, but they will always be linked.
You are living proof of the biggest sidewalk I've ever fucking seen or walked upon. And honestly, like, man, you're strong, dude. I admire that. And you honestly made me a stronger person by hearing the things you've told me.
I take away from it from like this. I hope that.
What?
I heard that.
Did you?
I don't know, but I think I did.
No, what I was going to say is, even with the way that we've all kind of grown up, which we've all kind of touched upon, and just with the way that life is, did you guys know that we need at least 4 hugs a day for survival?
I got you, bro.
We need 8 hugs a day for maintenance, and then 12 hugs a day for growth. So if you're not getting hugged 8 to 12 times a day, you're not doing any kind of emotional growth.
So what if you have your whole family leaves you, and you have no one?
That's why people are emotionally stunted.
That's why people are emotionally ignorant sometimes.
My mom tried to drive me off a cliff.
You think he was like a lot of trouble?
Oh, I wasn't done. Yeah, I got more.
Yeah.
So, but that was just when he was 3. Did you have 3 years anyone old there for you?
No. Well, my grandfather. That's why he was my best friend.
So you had your grandfather.
He passed, and when he passed, I was in the army, and then my wife, my first wife and my daughter passed away in childbirth, and I was overseas. I was flown home, and they passed on the way.
And then your brother.
And then my brother died. That was my grandfather had died first.
This is all like in the span of a year, right?
Yeah, about a year, year and a half. Well, yeah, I guess right in the span of a year. And then I was with my first team, and we went over to, where were we? Kosovo. And I watched one of my friends, he got shot, and I was lucky. He survived for about an hour, and I had to hold him and get him off the line. I got a medal for that, though. Got him off the line, and it was really it was really a bad fight, too, because we were not allowed to shoot back, because during this conflict, the Kosovanians, or the people who we weren't technically fighting, I guess you could say. We were a peacekeeping mission, so we weren't allowed to fire on these people. But what they did was they took school children and they lined them up and made them hold hands with the teachers on each end and made them walk towards us as they shot between their legs. And we weren't allowed to shoot back.
Because what if you miss?
Yeah, what if you accidentally? I was a good shot. I was a damn good shot.
He wouldn't have missed, but still was not allowed to do anything while he was
not allowed to do anything. Yeah.
Holy shit.
So that was our first, and my friend got shot, and he was a specialist, and he got shot right in the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was, you know, I didn't know anything about medical at the time. And
is that why you think you went into medical?
No. Actually, I went into medical a lot. I went into medical because of a different reason. I went into medical because of my family. My dad's a nurse. My mom's a nurse. Mm-hmm. My dad's a nurse. My stepmom's a nurse. My grandfather was one of the first nurses in California that was a male.
Oh, wow.
My uncle is a nurse. My aunt is a nurse. CNA.
CNA.
CNA. So it was kind of in the blood, you know.
It was kind of like a...
Yeah, I wasn't... I didn't want to go into nursing. I was born to be a nurse. I was born to care for people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in the Army... Such a,
it's so cute watching him, like... I think that's pictures. One of the reasons why I love
working with him. I had an Alzheimer's patient, if you know anything about Alzheimer's. He's so cute.
He works with people.
She was. She's totally gone. She hadn't spoken in almost 3-4 years.
She just mumbled the entire time.
I can't. I know her name. I'm not going to say it.
No.
No need.
But yeah, exactly. She was holding my hand one day, and I have a picture of her holding my hand during this time, because, and it's funny because you see my tattoos, and you just see her hand holding me like this, and in a clear and instant voice, just clear as shit, she goes, I know who you are, and I hope you know that I'm very grateful that you're doing everything for me, and I might forget who you are in a minute, but I'll never forget who you are. And I was like, fuck.
So things like that, do they make you believe in anything, or do you think it's just a coincidence?
No.
What do you mean by, like, believe in anything? Like a higher power?
Like a higher power, God, or... anything of that nature.
I was
going to
say, that's really interesting because he was raised very religious. Mm-hmm. I was not. Really? I was cult raised religious. More spirit. Yeah, he was cult. He was like, his family was a part of a cult.
Yeah.
And for sure.
By that, cult religious is?
Like Catholicism.
No.
But Pentecostal.
Pentecostal. United Pentecostal. First Pentecostal.
You guys know what that is.
How do you explain that?
He can explain it a lot better. Basically, Pentecostals insane. For Dummies 101 is like a steroid version of Catholicism or
they believe in the literal translation of the Bible.
Yeah.
The literal.
Was it the New or Old Testament?
The Old Testament and the New Testament put together, but the Old Testament as an actual scripture.
Yeah.
So women are not allowed to cut their hair, no makeup, no jewelry, skirts.
Men can beat their
6 inches below their
women
knees.
Men are allowed to beat their
women. Men are the head of the household. If a man goes to heaven, the woman goes to heaven. If the man is bad, the woman is bad. It doesn't matter if you're a godly woman or not. Everything is under the man. When you're married, you're married.
It sounds like the Middle East.
Oh, it's exactly like
Islam.
It's exactly like hardcore Islam. Like
just
hardcore.
White people.
Yeah.
Wow, that's gnarly, dude.
And I was raised
intense.
Hardcore. Yeah.
Intense.
No
he's
shorts.
He's shown me a couple of like their sermons.
Oh, it's insane. I could show you some sermons that would blow your mind. Yeah.
There was one where I swear to God, he was in the background.
You ever heard of fire and brimstone? Fire and brimstone preaching?
No, not at all.
They preach, it's called fire and brimstone preaching. They preach if you do not do exactly as they say, how they say it, when they say it, why they say it, you are going to burn in hell.
And they make an example out of you.
Jesus comes back for the second resurrection. And when he comes back, he is taking all the chosen people who are United Pentecostal up. And they're going to fight a war, and then you're going to go to the lake of fire for the rest of your life.
Hold on.
I actually have heard of that.
Fire and brimstone.
You have a tattoo across behind your ear. Are you religious?
Yes, I am.
Are you like Christianity? Are you a branch of that? Or Christian?
See, I believe in something. I believe there's something there.
Yeah.
I just don't believe in...
Were you raised Catholic?
One thing.
No, I don't believe in religion. I believe in a God. Not necessarily a God. It's hard to explain. I believe that there's something there. An entity, a spirit, something is there. Something that I feel, you know. I don't know if you understand.
No, I think
put that. Yeah, but I don't believe in man's interpretation. And the Bible, I can not only disprove, I can show how it is so flawed.
By ways of saying you could kill a man or do anything, and you could just repent from that sin and go to heaven. That doesn't make sense. Logically.
It doesn't. Yeah.
See, it's funny. We were just talking. We both eventually at this stage in our life, I would say, I don't want to speak for you, but are more spiritual than religious.
Yeah.
Like, we feel what we feel. We don't particularly condone it.
No,
we don't particularly put ourselves in a box.
But it's funny how we both ended up with significant others that were raised so religious and straight, quote unquote, strayed were from you? That path. Yeah,
my grandma's a preacher.
Yeah. Oh, my grandfather married us. He's a pastor. My
and your aunt and uncle.
My
yeah.
aunt and uncle are both pastors.
Your cousin just went on his first mission.
Yeah, my cousin went. And I'm supposed to, of course, according to my family, the reason why I am shunned is I am supposed to be a preacher. Mm. I am supposed to be a preacher in the United Pentecostal Church. I am a prophet.
So that kind of is cult theory.
Yeah.
As in like,
yeah. According to them, I am a prophet. I can see things.
Yeah.
Is what they say. Now I do have weird ass premonition things. I'm not going to say
he's had a couple dreams where he's called it.
I have called it big time.
Yeah.
I called dreams when my mom was going to die.
So you have that same kind of thing. See, we are really, really like
it's really.
I also explain that from like a scientific point. Just want to point that out.
Yeah, just like I have
like those kind of dreams and like anxiety can amp that up where you play it enough in your head that it literally comes up. So
me and my mom are arguing at one point, and she's stubborn, I'm stubborn, and I had a dream where it said she won, so I texted her and I said, "Okay, mom, you know she's really religious."
Mom ever dye her hair?
Did she dye her hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, she dyed it
red.
Multiple, yeah.
No, I'm not going. I'll I'm show not you doing a picture any, right no, now. I see like a red thing, but I do that. It's very strange.
That was her favorite color. Sorry.
That was her favorite.
Yeah, I can see her yelling at you. And the thing is right now I can see her yelling at you, but she thinks it's funny.
She does.
Of course.
No, it's the thing about my mom is she was
I'm not
so,
doing it anymore, though.
She was so well-rounded as a person. She would kick me in my ass. She would laugh. She'd be my best
She'd call
friend.
You on your shit.
Call me on my shit.
And she thinks you're the coolest person in the world. You're like, you have something. You have, it's not a gift. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. And if you don't fulfill that purpose, she's going to be pissed at you. And she's the type of person who I think she could actually come back from the afterlife and kick your ass.
I don't even know how you fucking know this, dude. That is gnarly that you just explained exactly what I think and I know for.
It's like life.
Red hair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, red frilly. Like it comes out here and it's about that.
Yeah.
That short. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
And a green shirt and blousy shirt.
Really weird, bro. That's fucking
not
gnarly.
White pants. Are they cream? Like culottes? What is a culotte? What is
like kind of like crease?
Culotte,
but like more culottes are like
what is a
you know like bootlegs on pants. Imagine that, but like as caprice.
She wears culottes, and I don't know what the fuck a culotte is.
I just explained it.
I still don't get it. It's, I know they cut off at the fucking
like flare jeans.
Yeah, like flare, like they flare out, but they're all kind of baggy, like all the way up and down.
Uh-huh. Bell bottoms.
My green pants that I wear, my lesbian pants, my green lesbian pants.
Oh, yes.
Like those, but shorter and just a little more form fitting.
I seriously just don't understand how you say that.
Like I said,
with the big ass pockets.
When I was a child, I used to sit outside. And I used to put all my sister's stuffed animals outside. And I used to talk to them. Constantly, I would talk to him. And my parents would always say, you're a preacher, you're going to be a preacher, you're a prophet, because I would tell them things about things that would happen, and then they would happen. I wanted to be a lawyer.
Oh, it's crazy. I did, too.
I wanted to be a lawyer.
Like a small cup of coffee?
Huh? He hates
coffee. You hate coffee?
I've hated coffee forever.
Okay.
You need to try her coffee.
I put liqueur in it.
And
I'll taste it.
Yeah.
You like chocolate?
I would love chocolate.
Okay, yeah. Try that.
You can taste some of hers, and then I'll make
I would
make
love
it for
you. Some. That would be awesome.
You want it, like mine? Or
No, I don't want liquor. I want mine. I'm a coffee fanatic. I'm a coffee guy.
Yeah, we've turned into coffee people.
Big time.
So does it give you the jitters?
No. You got to drink it every day.
It puts me in a better mood.
Me, yeah. I have to drink 2 or 3, 4, 5 cups. I never drank coffee until I got on a boat. Now that we're on a boat, I drink coffee every day. And it's something relaxing about it. It's like I'll drink one cup and then it's like, ah, I'm going to go make another cup. And it used to jitter me.
It slowly like wakes you up for your day.
But now it's just like, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready for the day.
Guys, I'm sitting here still, my fucking mind blown.
Oh, no, I got more for you.
No, that's fucking weird. Because you explained it by the fucking point. And it's just like,
how
did you fucking do that? I haven't told you anything about my mother at all except she passed and you literally explained her to a T. That was weird as fuck. Like, red was her favorite color.
I have actually a picture of her in my head, which is funny. There's so much love though. There's so much love. And it's weird because there's so much like rah. You know what I mean?
Yes, because that's when I got this tattoo at 16. She's like, I bet you won't do it, your pussy. I was like, Mom, yes. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I got tatted.
Did you ever meet her?
Of course.
You did?
Yes.
There's a rawr against you.
Uh-oh.
Rawr. Uh-oh. And it's not because of you. It's because you haven't gotten him to marry you yet. You better put him down.
And that's what she kept asking.
You better put him down and you better make him marry you because this is the one that you're supposed to be with. And you know that, girl.
I've been trying.
You know that.
I've been hitting.
You better put, you can get on a knee and you can do it too. Be that woman.
But I also know that woman and I don't think she'd want me to do
that. Oh, well, she said old school is old school and that's the way we got to do it. But you can be you.
He asked me to marry him five times.
Five times.
And finally he was like, I'm not asking you anymore. And then I was like, will you marry me? And he goes, fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. That's the way life's supposed to be.
And then he got me three different rings.
That's the way I love them. The way they live their life is just by the wind. You know, and just happiness. And they love each other. You know, they help each other grow.
I love this girl with all my heart.
They help each other grow.
Fucking scare your ass. Yeah.
Literally,
and they talk shit to each other, so you know it's real. You know it's real.
She don't take care of me, I'm gonna have to put her on the curb. No, I couldn't move without her. No shit, I couldn't. And that's the way you got to think about the person that you want to be with for the rest of your life. Could you live without her? Could you? No,
I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't her.
Then, let me ask you a question. On this sidewalk of life that you're walking down the sidewalk of life, you got one person that you're allowed to have next to you. Now in the real time you can have as many as you want, but right now you can only have one.
Oh, it's her.
Is it her?
Yeah, it's her. That's the only person I trust my life with. Only person I could trust my whole life with. Her only person.
Nice to meet you.
I've asked her a million times.
Ask her one more.
Will you marry me?
Yes.
There you go.
And it's that simple, but it's not. It's the thought process. It's the thought process of our families and my mom not being there. It's a lot to take in.
You know what you could do?
And grasp.
Think about this. Life is so
short.
Fleeting. No, it might be long. It might be something you live 100 years for. Who knows? It might be short. You might die tomorrow. You might die in 100 years. But you can take a moment. You can grasp that.
And you can hold on to it.
And you can love that moment by loving the one you're with.
But why does she say no so many times?
Same reason Maddie said no so many times.
No, Maddie.
Why did she say no so many times? Uh-huh. Because she wasn't sure.
I don't believe in marriage.
She didn't believe in marriage.
Why is that?
She didn't believe in the defining factor of two people being joined together. Yeah. She didn't believe in that contract. She didn't believe in the government thing. She didn't believe in a whole bunch of shit. But I kept trying. You know why? Because that's what I wanted.
That's what you want.
That's what I wanted.
And that's who you are as a person. You keep trying. You don't give up.
That's the person I wanted to walk through life with. That's the person I wanted on the sidewalk with me. I want to walk through the shit with her. I want to keep walking through the shit with her. And I'm going to keep walking through the shit with her. No matter what, I'm going to keep walking. If that's the person you want to keep walking through the shit with, don't let it stop you. No matter what. There's a shitload of stuff that's going to happen in life. you can't see it coming. You don't know if it's going to come or not, but you do know that's the person you want to walk beside you, right?
And he will drag my ass through life if he has to.
How did you know? What made you say no so many times, or why don't you believe in certain things?
Well, I didn't believe in marriage for a long time because I grew up too, and, by the way. Yeah, I did ask him.
You asked him?
Yeah, that mm-hmm. was the fifth time.
What made you ask him? Like, did you think he would give up on asking, or?
Mm-mm. No, no, God, no. He doesn't ever give up.
I wasn't going to give up.
He's told me, I'm not going to ask you again so many fucking times.
No, no, yeah. I was going to ask her.
Again. Well, yeah, because he's upset. And you know, you're the one.
Yeah,
he has to throw his little.
Oh, you always have to, man.
I got to.
If she says no, it's like, damn, I love you with all my heart. I just want you to have that.
I just, I grew up in a very broken. I watched a very broken marriage stay together for too long.
And the thing is, I did too, but I saw the different side of it.
Same. I have very narrow vision when it comes to a lot of things. Which Donnie is working every day so hard to open those. And over time, I just kind of have to do it myself. I mean, as it does with everybody in their decisions in life. But I came from I watched this very toxic, very broken relationship from the time I was so little. Watched all the negative effects of it that it still has on both my parents today.
She also went through a lot of trauma herself.
And I went
that same thing.
I went through a lot of trauma,
a lot of abuse.
Yeah, physical, mental, emotional.
And you felt as if the pain of being married is not worth it.
What I was always told as a kid is that every relationship turns out to be like this. My aunt on my maternal side is in a loveless marriage. Has been for years. Mm-hmm. I mean, the husband is addicted to drugs. One of the two kids is also addicted to drugs. They never see each other. They only see my or saw my grandparents when they wanted money.
Yeah.
They're
living in their house now because the grandmother's passed away and her grandfather is in a nursing home.
So do you hate them?
I don't hate them. I don't have time to give a shit. I don't want to see them, so I don't show up for holidays. And she didn't want to
end up like that either.
And I don't.
Okay, what if they reach out to you?
If they reach out, I'd be nice, as long as they're being nice. I mean, I will give back the energy I receive. If you come at me...
That's an awesome way.
Yeah.
You reciprocate it.
Yeah, if you come at me being like, well, fuck you, why aren't you part of this? Why aren't you need to do this, you need to do that? I'm going to be like, get the fuck out of my face.
Well, that's when I would step in, because I can be an asshole.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you protect
her. Oh, the second anybody starts cussing at me, he's like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, I'm a little bit over the top when that comes to that.
He does. He does get over the top and protective. But because of all this stuff that I've watched, that's only like half the side of my family. It gets so much worse on the other half. But I've watched all this shit for years, and I'm still watching it. And so when, I don't know, it was just like, well, you've been here for quite a few years and you always treat me very good. So
he's someone who stuck by your side even when you didn't know you had a side.
And he's the only man that I've ever felt safe with. I know I could be in the room with, like, I could be in the middle of a prison. And as long as he was with there, I know that he's going to fight to try and keep me safe.
Oh, yeah.
He would, even if he has to talk, do whatever, he will always do what it takes to make sure that him and our family's okay. Yeah. Not just me, but our animals and our future.
Our babies.
He does everything to make sure that our future is going to be okay.
I know it's going to be babies. I can't wait either.
I didn't even want kids.
That's the weird thing.
That's how much of a mind change someone that
you know what changed throws my you mind?
True love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, what
that was changed beautifully my mind. Said.
It or never, not changed my
it
mind.
It never gave up on you.
But I can narrow down the instance when I started changing my thoughts and feelings on kids, because I still think kids are gross and sticky.
They are.
I don't like your kids.
Everybody's kids.
I will love my kids.
Yeah, see, you will love your kids because
I'll love your kids.
Don't invite your children over to my house.
No.
I'm inviting them over
unless I actually like you. And that's because then I'll tolerate.
You gotta be there.
But
I'll be there.
What changed my mind was we were renting a house,
right?
The house that we guys told you about earlier, but we were renting the house and I was coming home from work. he had the garage open. He had like 5 different projects going. And as I pull up, the garage with our dog, and they're playing. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even see me pull up yet. And they are just playing and being adorable. And I thought, I would love that to be a kid.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I would love that to be a miniature version of the combination of us, because that little bitch is going to be a hellion.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make sure she is, too. We're going to have two, hopefully. A daughter and a son, Gracie and Keegan. We already got their name.
He's been so set on Gracie since we've started dating.
Gracie, do you like the name?
I have to like the name. It's gonna be her name. Yeah, I have no opinion. I can't even change it if I wanted to.
She wants to name my son when we have one after a movie.
It's a joke.
What is it?
Wait, what's the movie?
Oh my god.
What's the movie?
The movie's ATL. I had the biggest crush on T.I.
You gonna name him T.I.?
She wants to name Rashad. His name in the movie is Rashad.
That's not a bad
name.
That's
a badass name. Yeah.
Ha. Ignore the meaning. Ignore the meaning.
I like.
Look at the name.
Junior is better.
Uh-oh. You know, when you said that
Junior,
right now.
Junior.
That made. Junior. It could be whatever fucking boyfriend. I did it wrong.
No.
That was the one I did wrong.
But it could be for whatever fucking reason under the sky. You don't have to tell yourself that. You could tell your story when people ask.
See, that's what I respect about you, and what you said right now is, fucking live your life for you.
Yeah.
Basically. Mm-hmm. And you know, fuck everyone else because you got to. Like how you guys right now. You know, maybe people look at your age difference or whatever.
Oh, all the time.
Which we got a big one.
But fuck that. I see the connection.
I'm an old man.
You're a pedophile.
I love that.
You're
shit.
Because,
well, I guess
we got our game.
Shit, they're perfect together. Shit, he ain't Bill Cosby, though.
I ain't no Bill Cosby.
But he will put her to sleep.
I'll put her to
sleep.
When he
will give her the meat.
I will give her the meat, too. Shit, bro. You don't know. Right,
can we not talk about this? With all this talk, y'all better get some meat tonight, then.
All right, shit.
I gotta work in the morning. I gotta work in the morning. You better leave me alone.
Sure, bro, I can't walk to work in the morning.
Wake up, meat.
She ain't gonna walk to work in the morning. You're gonna have to drive her. She's gonna need a wheelbarrow when I'm done with her.
Oh, you better be. Y'all talk a lot of games. We're going to bed after this.
All right, she said you talk a lot of games.
Oh, I'm good.
You can do it in the morning. I'm not going to bed after this.
The morning is cool. I have to feel something warm sometimes. I'm like, yo, come on.
You know what's funny is ever since we started putting on the heater in the morning, he is up with me. He's up before me.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's hot as fuck.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I got to get up. I'm like, fuck this stuff.
I told him I'm going to give him the fucking comfort.
I like it cold. Yeah. I love it cold.
I sleep with a fan in my face.
Dude, fan right there. I'm fucking freezing right now.
You're warm.
This is supposed to be our bedroom.
She's warm.
No, she's actually cold. I feel it.
No. That's warm to me.
I mean, we're all different body temperature.
Your hands are hot.
I know I'm hot. Oh,
her hands are cold.
Yeah, see, that's cold.
Yeah.
She's let me get a bowl of you. Let me
get Yeah, she's like, yeah.
Don't be cold.
We ain't company. We family now.
We're family now. You can put them down.
You don't need to see my hand on his dick.
I will look right.
You look right.
There's a good.
You just rub up and down. It's all right. It'll be fine. I'll stand over here.
Shit, you're like, you're gonna tell us my boss tomorrow.
We need to go to a restaurant and just do some exotic shit, some fun, random shit.
I'm all about voyeurism. Let's do this shit.
Yeah, let's do some fun shit. That's right.
We'll do it right on the table.
We'll try it.
Have you guys wrote on this table?
What?
This one? No, we take this down. This turns into our bed right here.
Yeah. So we take this down. It goes right in between the slots.
We still live the magic.
Oh, so this is where the juices are.
We're still where the magic is. You're on the juices, man.
I fold up the sheets so that it catches on you.
Dude, don't worry. You're pregnant already.
It's cool with me. You're pregnant already, bro. I'm ovulating.
You're pregnant already. Yeah, you're gonna have my babies.
I'll have your guys' kids.
Yeah, beautiful chocolate babies.
We're gonna have beautiful babies.
Milk chocolate. Sorry.
Yeah, milk chocolate.
Milk chocolate.
My bad.
Milk chocolate.
Milk chocolate.
Yeah,
we're both chocolate.
I'm good, man. We're gonna have some beautiful babies.
Oh, you guys are gonna have a great. I see you guys having a great future because from the past and how much it's grown and how you guys talk.
We lived in a car for a while, and we still.
But that's
we're okay.
That shows how down we were pissy at each other for a little bit,
but you know,
we have been through a lot.
That's what gets you through it, though, is that little struggle and those memories.
Shoot people.
Hey, With BB guns. With BB guns. He shoots people with BB guns.
Yeah, BB guns. That's paintball. Right.
This is
right.
A paintball tournament. Oh, well,
I thought we were talking about Nerf guns.
Nerf. Yeah, let's do that.
Oh, yeah.
Nerf
guns. We did shoot those Nerf guns together.
Yeah.
We're
going to go shoot some Nerf guns up in Portland, aren't we?
Yeah, because I was shooting Nerf guns the other day.
Yeah, we're going to shoot Nerf guns
all my little brother. We was all so
I need to show you my Nerf gun over there.
Yeah, I love Nerf guns.
We've been hardcore drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten through that.
I've been on that path.
I was down to like 90 pounds and he was down to like 120.
Yeah. But that's what honestly helped you guys grow because people will stop fucking with you. And when you become better, they still see you with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why we don't really tell people. Except on the podcast.
But see,
you got me out of my addiction. Yeah.
In a way, I got him out of his too, just because he wanted to help me so much.
You know what? One thing I don't like hearing is when people are trying to give you advice about getting clean and they're like, do it for yourself. And it's like, I think I'm a piece of shit. Yeah. Why the fuck would I do it for myself?
That's the same way I feel. Yeah. That's the same way I feel when people say random shit about my mom.
Yeah, be like, I'm sorry.
But he said the realest shit. He just says what is really fucking facts.
And that's because he's been through shit. He knows what he would want to hear in that time.
I was tortured in the hospital.
But
because of drugs.
But it's just like, it's me too. Me too. They restrained me and I was struck.
They wouldn't give me any water. I fought 12 cops. Did they give
me
water?
No, they wouldn't give me water.
And then when I said I was going to throw up, the guy threw a fucking throw up bag at my feet and said,
I said, before I die, can you guys give me some water at least? And they were like, no.
I had to give him Jolly Ranchers just so he could start like salivating.
I thought I was trying to kill myself because I thought they were trying to kill her.
I thought she was trying to kill me she fucking signed the papers to call my mom.
I thought she was part of it.
And I called my mom, and my mom was like, this girl loves you. Like, geez, you tripping. Like, she just called me. I'm like, no, mom, she was there.
Yeah, he thought I was talking shit.
I thought she was part of it. And I was like, if she's part of it, just go ahead and kill me now.
That's
what
I saw.
He wouldn't look at me. He was like, you need to leave. I'm like, bitch, I ain't going fucking anywhere.
I was done.
He was skeptical of getting in my car. I picked him from the hospital and he's like, I still don't know. Like,
I still got PTSD to this day. Dude,
I think there's times where I think that he thinks the same thing. I'll still be like,
I'm still waiting for them
because
to come back and get me.
Go away.
No.
And take me back
and
to that hospital.
That, and I don't try and change that, but every day my actions will show.
But what you showed and what those drugs did, you think you were out, but you remember it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's gnarly to remember.
It's even there in your brain.
Hallucination. You still saw it, you still felt it.
No, he trusts me. I'm like, gee, like, come back to life.
I couldn't.
It's just impossible.
I was on that.
Pause.
Oh, hold up.
We got to stop this and then re-record. Or then start again. Yes.
All right, we're back.
So we kind of stopped in the middle of a conversation about, like, I had to pee. And our recording hour was coming up. Mm. But the idea, the whole thing about addiction and recovery.
Oh, yeah. Well, despising that.
Yeah, everybody has their own stories.
We've done that a couple of times, actually.
But it's caffeine or fucking
cigarettes or
just anything in life that you are somewhat can't give up, you know. But people will say there's enablers, but really it's your own choices in life.
Honestly, Donnie and I have no self control. If we want to buy something, we will buy it.
Yeah.
If we want to go do something
too.
I know you just said you hate the enabler thing.
We're horrible.
But we enable each other.
I'll be like, let's I wanna go do this, and she'll be like, okay.
Be like, I kind of do too.
Yeah, I kind of do too. And then I'll be like, or she'll be like, I want to go do this. And I'll be like,
I want to buy this.
And I'll be like, sure.
And it's like,
why not? We have the money. We might not eat next week, but yeah, that looks cool. Let's do it.
As long as the dogs figure it out.
Yeah.
And
that's how we are. We enable each other. So it's really hard for us. We got to actually sit there and look at what we're doing and say,
and have a real
be honest
adults about shit.
And, yeah. And it was not long ago. It was, not even a year, maybe 3-4 months ago, we finally had to sit down and be like, hey,
we want a future, we need to plan
a future for us.
What made you want to have kids?
So the instant that I can always like kind of think back to is seeing him in the garage playing with our dog and them not even realizing that I was home yet after work. And I just sat there for a good, almost like, I don't know, 2 songs worth. And
five, 6 minutes. What kind of songs?
Like little rock songs.
Good enough for me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I sat there and I was just looking at him and I was like, God damn, this is the happiest I've ever been. Yeah. I am starting a home. I have the love of my life doing this with me. I love my job. And, you know, he's the reason that I got to switch careers and have a job that I
worked my ass off for that.
Yeah, he did.
Wait, he had you switch careers?
Yeah, she was working as a CNA. She was making good money.
I was making great money. I was working 100 hours a fucking week.
And I was like, you need to quit your job and do something you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making a shitload of money. Well, I wasn't making a shitload. I was making good money.
You were making enough money where we can both be comfortable. I was making good, comfortable money.
Yeah.
And you just jumped off grid.
Yeah. I was like, I'll keep working. You go and figure out what you want to do.
You take some time off. You figure out what you want to do.
She was like, I want to be a dog groomer. I was like, go do it.
And what made you figure that out, though?
We got our dog. And I was like, I fucking love dogs. What can I do with dogs where I'm not going to be just so depressed every day? And I was looking at PetSmart and Petco's like job opportunities, and I was reading through all their descriptions, and I'm like, I don't think I really want to do that. And then I saw their dog groomer thing, and I was like, my sister-in-law does that.
Yeah.
And she is so happy all the time. She never complains about her job. And
she still complains. I'm just going to say that.
She's still happy about it.
I'll call her on the phone sometimes.
And she's just
like, this stupid dog peed on me.
If I had a dog pee on my entire fucking life,
she headbutted me. And I'll be like, dude, you love your job, right? Yeah.
Hell yes.
I'm just upset. If I got pissed on, I'm allowed to fucking be in a bad mood. If somebody peed on you guys would be upset for at least an hour.
But at the end of the day, it's therapeutic as fuck.
Oh, God, yes.
So.
Yeah, she's mine. I've had given her one as a girlfriend and a wife.
So you've been pissed on?
Yeah. I've given her golden shower. She's mine.
That was consensual. The dog was not consensual.
Oh, shit.
Non-consensual being.
Oh, shit. So
if it's consensual.
But they say dogs are the cleanest.
Hey.
No, that's not true.
Really?
Google it.
I don't know. I'm a nurse. I've been peed on more than I want to admit.
The myth was their mouth.
Their mouth are good. That's the myth.
The myth was their mouth is cleaner than humans. And that's
that I don't believe. I've seen her lick her coochie. I don't know how many times.
Yeah, we see dog eat shit all day.
Have you heard that?
Yeah. So how do they have the cleanest
house? House of coochies, right?
That's what. No, yes. She was saying yes. That. I think that's just the saying, theory that you were.
The theory yeah.
Is that true?
Fucking
no. We see dogs eat shit all day.
Literally, we had a dog today with the fucking piece of wood stuck in its mouth.
Oh my god! Literally,
the same food, the same shit every single time. It's got to be cleaner than humans. We eat all kinds of weird shit, and we're always shitting all kinds of.
But we brush our teeth.
Yeah,
but it's the same thing. You think? I mean, it's like
we brush our teeth. We have a dentist. They don't have dentists.
Different stuff all the time.
A dentist came today and a dog literally had wood embedded in the top of their...
We're going fishing.
Ever going to fucking...
You guys can go to sleep down there. We're going fishing. We're going
to
take the boat out.
We need to fish.
I think that's fucked up. Yes. I don't think they're going to remember.
Oh, no. We're going.
Or they're
going
to be too tired.
Do we got
y'all,
more of this?
Y'all go.
Damn it.
Fuck them. I can get more.
Fuck them.
Hold on. Do I got money on my phone?
We're broke.
Well, I can figure
but,
it out.
But, anyways.
What are
the priorities?
Yeah.
Guidelines. That's what you were thinking.
My guidelines left my mom when my mom died.
What were we talking about for tonight?
You have a life to live that you're going to love for the rest of your life.
And what's weird, though, is how you say you live for, you know, your people that you lost. Mm-hmm. My stepdad told me that I'm supposed to live life for myself now and not live life for my mother.
But how can you do that when you're either depressed, anxious, you have mental health issues that aren't being taken care of? How do you live for...
Think about your mom.
He also doesn't know how to take care of himself.
I don't know how to take care of myself.
Exactly.
If she was looking at you right now, what do you think she would say to you?
What do you think she would do for you?
If the way you're, the way you live your life. Maybe cook
you a nice meal? Give you a hug?
If she was watching me, I think about this. I think about this. This is the way I've always thought about my life.
That's what my mom would do.
Is my grandfather and my brother, they're off and wherever. I'm pretty sure my grandfather's fishing. My brother, he's running some ranch somewhere. They're having a good ass life because they passed away and they're on their second life or third life or 24th life or whatever. Whether reincarnation is real or whether it's a simulation or it doesn't matter what it is. They're somewhere out there and they're having a good ass time. They're looking at me saying, live your life. Have a good ass time. And when you die,
don't fucking regret anything.
Exactly. Don't die with any regrets.
Don't waste your time.
And if you do die with regrets, you're going to be in a haze. You're going to be in a fog and you got to get through that.
Like a purgatory.
You're going to be in a purgatory until you get through that when you realize there was nothing to regret in the first place. It was all worth living. Every mistake you made was a learning experience. Every pain you felt was a learning experience. Every road you walked was a learning experience. All you got to do is live life. Do not let life live you.
I love how you guys said it's a purgatory because a lot of people don't understand what purgatory is. So can you go explain that to them?
Purgatory to me
is like a middle ground between Catholic or not Catholic, but Christianity, hell, and heaven.
Like your trap.
Yeah, but that's more of the.
It's not bad. It's not good.
That's more of the dictionary term. I'm thinking of this. Purgatory to me is a place where you're stuck and you don't know that you're dead or alive. You have no idea, but you're stuck. And until you realize that there was nothing there for you and there was no regrets to be had and life was meant to be lived and you got through it with the pain that you felt, with the roads that you walked, with the loves that you felt, with everything, you lived it, you were able to go.
So once you figure out that you're in control of all your fears, hopes, aspirations, and decisions, the world is fucking yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true.
I mean, yeah. He got over a lot of shit.
It was time to go.
He decided that he wanted to live on a sailboat. He fucking did it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to move on.
I wanted to be me. I wanted to live my life. I didn't want anything to hold me back.
Unapologetically, unfearing, live your life as you.
I still have those times. Who is it? I still have those moments where I wake up in the middle of the night.
Do you blame yourself for anything?
No.
I think for a long time you did.
I did.
For a very long time.
I blame myself for sitting in the back seat. I lost my whole team. They were my best friends. I was with my best friend. I was in the Army for almost 10 years. I was with him for 9.5 years.
But see, that one coincidence or whatever.
One little thing.
That's gnarly.
To sit.
But if you
and
think
that
about
wasn't
life,
my decision. That was my captain's.
Life.
He wanted to sit in the front.
Met her.
He wanted to be the maps.
Led up to every single moment. That
my,
is where we are.
My
right
late
now.
Wife
so what do you
who passed
guys
away with my daughter.
Think about that?
Like, it's a horrifying thought.
That life was meant to be, not necessarily.
I think it's a lot of coincidences.
I think that there is a God. I think
a lot
that,
of timelines.
Well, not necessarily a God, maybe a higher power, maybe an entity, maybe something, maybe God. I think there's something up there, but I don't think that they look down on us and say.
I don't think they give two shits.
No, not necessarily. I think they do kind of give a shit, that. But it's
like
more
when you watch
a
reality TV show and you're like, why did Brenda pick Brandon?
Yeah.
Well, you also think, Chad. Like, why does everyone that's good pass away? You know, and then.
Well, like I was saying, though, but I don't think it's like that. I think when God or whoever looks down, they say, I wish you would have made this choice instead of that one, but. I'm not going to stop you from making your choice.
No.
It's free will. I don't think anybody's going to hell. I don't think there is a hell. I don't think. I think there is kind of a purgatory, but it's a place where you put yourself.
Or it could be all up to perspective. It's all one place. And depending on how you are and who you are,
that's
it's either
true.
Heaven,
hell, or purgatory.
That's See, true the too. Last dream I had about my mother was her turning around and me crying, and I had she thought she was alive, and I had to tell her, like, Mom, you died.
That's funny. You died. That's
you're,
really
you're
weird.
Dead, Mom. Like, you're not here. She just turned and started crying to me. That was the last dream I had about her.
Huh.
So I'm just like, where is she? So I ask myself every day, like,
maybe that was your way of subconsciously really giving yourself some kind of form of closure. Or having like one more conversation being like, this is where she's going. This is what's happened to her. We need to know that.
I had a dream of a woman holding my hand.
Still lost.
Yeah, I had a dream of a woman holding my hand, not knowing she was passed away. And she was walking with me. And she didn't know she had passed away. And I had to tell her because she was crying. And she was holding my hand, but I was a child. I was a little child. And as we were walking, I had to tell her, you're dead. You have died. And I'm still alive. And she wouldn't let go of my hand. And she said, you need to realize that you're alive. But she still didn't realize that she was dead. She said, so when we wake up, you need to realize you're alive. And I said, but you died.
And this, we kept walking. Told you this? He told you this?
No, he's told me this dream before.
Yeah. I had, yeah. But
so
we
this
were,
is facts. Like this.
Yeah. This is, we were walking and she was holding my hand. We finally got to the edge of the room where we had to open the door and she didn't want to open the door. And I said, but you have to open the door. This is you going through the door because you died. And she was like, I don't want to leave you. And I kept saying, but I am here. You have to open the door.
My sidewalk goes this way. Your sidewalk goes that way.
Kind of like that. It was, yeah. And I kept saying, I have to let go. And she's like, remember, you're alive. Remember, you're alive. And she finally opened the door and she started crying as she went through the door. But I had to remember that I was alive. And it wasn't my dream, but it was my dream, you know?
Right. Like you were a guest star in
yeah,
someone
it was
else's
like
dream,
I was that
or someone
person.
Else's like, moment.
Yeah, I was that person, but I wasn't that person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, yeah, I saw the lady with the red hair, red frizzy hair.
My mom, yeah, it's just weird that you said that, because red hair, that was her favorite color to put on her head. You know, she would talk to me like that.
Yeah.
You know, so
mean, but very nice.
A loving kind of, very stern, very but you know that woman. It comes from a place of love.
But no one would know that unless you know her, so it's
it was
such
a type
of moment.
Like me, I had a bad mom experience. I had my real mom tried to drive me off a cliff when I was 3 years old. My stepmom and my dad abused me very,
and
very
now
much
your
so.
New stepmom is?
My new stepmom is
in her 20s.
27. But.
Well, how old is your.
My dad's
66.
67. Yeah.
What's the age difference?
40 years.
What's the age difference between you guys?
20 years. That wasn't but by irony. Me knowing, though. I thought she was in her 30s.
I thought you were in your 30s, bitch.
Yeah, you honestly don't look like your age, bro.
Thank you. If I shave, I look younger.
No, yeah. You definitely do. In those pictures, bro, I would have thought you were like 27.
Thank
That's
you,
exactly
bro.
I thought 28.
I really love you, man.
Straight up,
I'm going to marry this dude.
Dude, you had all black hair. You look fly. I'm like, you still look
Thank
fly.
You.
You're a fly guy, bro.
I'm a fly white guy.
Yeah, for real.
He has
here.
A natural
I like to
charisma
say
about himself.
Mexican, not a Mexican.
Nah, he's just real at the end of the day. And it's just the exterior and the things you've been through that makes you honestly who you are.
Yeah, I love that. I
Some
love
people
that
you can tell
saying.
By the exterior
you gotta look
aspects.
At people.
You can tell that they've been through some stuff. Some people, you gotta just dig a little.
But see, like, he came up and he had that walk and whatever. He came up and hugged me right away.
I was like, what's up, bro? Hands.
Yeah, hug
me. We talking on the phone. I was like, this is already a bro I wanna have.
And that's the thing, like, the genuineness of not acting tough or not acting to act. Who
he
you.
Doesn't have to act.
I've never needed exactly. to act tough in my life. I've always been that type of guy that you're either very intimidated by me or you're my best friend.
Facts.
And when I walk up to the people who are intimidated by me, I always ask why. I'm not an intimidating guy. I'm
just
a normal person.
Yeah, probably.
I'm a normal person. Yeah.
I was you got tattoos.
That too. Yeah, probably.
Which
I was a bouncer at
a
bar
stereotype.
In Florida. Shit, this was fucked up. I was a bouncer at a bar in Florida. And they would not put me outside to check IDs because people would come up and try me. They want, because
were you
wanna,
still this length?
Yeah, yeah. No, I was about 250 pounds. I was a bodybuilder.
Damn. Well,
kind of. I mean, I was a big motherfucker. But they would come up and try me.
Uh-huh.
And I just look at them and be like, what do you want, bro? Give me your ID. You want to get in? Give me your ID. What? I'll be like, I'm not going to fight you or nothing. If you want to go in, give me your ID. Just give me your ID. No, what the fuck's
trying
problem?
To make a fight out of it just because.
And this one guy, he had dreads. I fucking thought it was the coolest dreads in the world because he had those really cool tight dreads, you know, real small dreads. And
oh,
I always,
the small.
Yeah, the small twist. Oh, they were cool as fuck. And he had a gold grill. And I had gold. And this was in Lake City, Florida.
Yeah, see, Florida. They
yeah, are but I had a gold grill. I had a gold tooth that I would put on right there, and it had a little skull right there. I love that motherfucker. I had that on, and I wanted dreads really bad, but my hair was kind of long. It was probably about down here, and I would just wear it in a bun. He'd come up. He was like, I was like, sup, bro? Love your dreads, man. Where's your ID? He'd be like, I don't look like I'm 21. I was like, you do, dude. You do. Camera's on, though. Where's your ID? He's like, I ain't giving you my ID. I was like,
yeah, literally,
bro. Come on, man. Yeah, just trying, just being a dumbass. I was like, please. I was like, dude, just show me the credit card. Show me something. Just so the camera sees me.
Hand me fucking something, and I will let you in.
I was like, just let me see something so you can get in. I'm cool with it. He was like, but see, man, I ain't showing you shit.
He would have probably guessed that, though. Yeah. Like, he'd have probably been like, because I went to the.
But if you take 2 seconds and not immediately become defensive.
Oh, no, but he was just being a douche.
Florida's gnarly.
Florida. Oh, yeah. Florida's a bitch place. Florida, I fucking lived there for 11 years. I fucking hated that
Florida's
place.
Crazy, bro.
Stupid. Stupid.
Dude.
Archaic-ass laws, man.
Yeah. But he walked up. He finally walked up. He's like, I'm just going in. I was like, nah, you ain't. He's like, yo, I'll fucking beat your ass. I was like, okay, let's do this thing, man. And he come up and he went and I don't know what he was trying to do. He either grabbed my hair or something, but he put his hand up like this. And I was like, you got dreads. So I grabbed his dreads, pulled them down, just pop, and he went down real quick. I was like, shit.
Pull a bitch by the hair, they're going to go down.
Yeah. I was like, shit, man, you went for my hair, I'm going to go for yours. He went down and he just crumpled, and I felt bad.
Why?
Because I knew he was trying me just to show off in front of his
friends. There's no reason.
So I picked him up.
Yeah, there's no reason. Yeah. But
I picked him up, I put him on the chair.
But it's like the Home Depot guy.
Yeah, but that guy was a douche. This guy was actually, he turned out to be pretty cool. He turned out to be one really, really good friend of mine.
Wait, so he tried you?
He tried me, and I popped him. He went down. I picked him up, put him on a chair. I waited for him to wake up, and he looked at me. He was like, dude, I was like, you going to do that again, shit? Or are we going to have a problem, or can you show me your ID? He's like, man, I'm sorry, dude. Here's my ID. I was like, I don't want to see your ID. Just show me a card, bro. I know you're overage. He's like, here's my idea. I was like, cool, man. Go inside. Have some fun. I'm sorry I had to pop you. I'm sorry. If I broke anything, you know, you're good. You'll be fine. Just go away. He went inside. He was there for about 5 minutes. He bought 2 beers, brought me out a beer, sat down. He was like, he sat with me for the rest of the night. His name was JR. We ended up being like really, really, really tight. He would come almost every time I worked because I worked Fridays and Saturdays only. Mm-hmm. I would work outside, and then they would pull me inside because I had to always work inside.
Well, you're at a club.
Yeah, yeah, at a club. I always had to work inside because I was too intimidating for the outside. But he would always come. He would make sure I was there. He would come in with me, and he would sit with me all night, and he would help me.
So he wanted to be a bouncer, too?
Kind of, because he could
have. Hang out.
He just wanted to hang out with me. He was just a cool guy.
It's like when you visit your friend on their lunch break.
It's like when you're like, yo, dude, I'm just coming out and have a beer. You want a beer, dude? We're just going to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, we're having a good time. He never, because the girls we had.
That don't sound like Florida.
Oh, no, that wasn't Florida. You want real Florida? Shit, I got some stories about Florida. That was fuck Florida.
Florida sounds savage.
Fuck Florida.
Because I know my boys in Florida. Tampa, Florida.
Oh, I live in North Florida. North Florida, the alligators.
Oh, see.
Lake City. We would go alligator hunting, fucking go out and shine.
That's tight as fuck.
Go out and take a flashlight and you shine. And when you see the eyes, you just pop them right between the eyes. And
just like a quarter shot.
Yep, quarter shot. There you go. That's, hey, he knows his shit.
I watched the shit shows, bro.
Oh, yeah, you do that quarter shot, yeah. Right, they plop up. You have to get out there real quick and get them. Otherwise, they sink and you fucking lose them.
Or they come back over to boat.
If they're still alive.
Dog, I've seen some big-ass fucking alligators on the shows.
I don't know. Alligators in Florida, they don't get about maybe 6 feet.
Yeah, see. 6 feet?
Yeah, but you got to remember, 6 feet long is only about this wide. Maybe this wide.
How wide would the... There's no video, babe. So how wide?
How wide is this wide? That's why I was looking, like I was showing, like what, this wide.
So like
12?
Like a bowling ball size.
At their thickest point, they're like a bowling ball size.
An alligator?
Yeah. So in crocodiles in Florida, crocodiles are 10 times bigger, dude.
Crocodiles get like 20, 25 feet.
Those motherfuckers get like this.
See, that show's tragic how Steve Irwin passed.
Oh, man, dude, that broke my heart.
Yeah, it's sweet that you the kids are trying to keep all that alive. His kids? Yeah, it's you seen
the, they, the girl, Bindi?
Is I seen her speech.
She's getting married, dude.
She's that much older now?
Yeah.
She was not crazy. Oh,
they're like full-blown adults. They vote and everything.
She's like 9 years old.
They have credit scores.
I know, right? And the son, he's doing a show. What's the show called?
He's trying to do like a spinoff from his dad's show, I think.
Something. Yeah.
Oh, he is. He is. He works at somewhere at some zoo.
Yeah, it's the Australian Natural Zoo History. I don't know. Something like that. That was a good guess. That's all I got. You're being awful quiet. Come on, chime in.
Tapping on the combo.
I'm just coming down.
We need to come up.
It is about 2:30 in the morning.
We have fishing to do.
Facts. I thought
you were working.
I do work. Oh. But I go to
sleep. Yeah, sorry. Everybody here works.
I'm sorry.
You.
Yeah, I don't work. I'm trying not to. I need to sell this boat.
But you're going to work.
To sell this boat and take you fishing.
So you have to sell the boat and then...
We don't have to. We would like to sell this boat.
We would love to keep it. Yeah, that would be awesome.
It'd be cool to keep it.
Oh, God, yeah. But the best thing would be to sell it, take the money and be able to have an apartment for us so we could live and also
San Francisco's expensive, though.
Yeah, exactly. We can get an apartment there, a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom for about $2,300 a month.
Okay. It's like fully furnished.
Fully furnished. And the cool thing is the places we found, what is it called?
Blue Group.
Shout out to Blue Group. Blue Group is a company. It's cool as fuck. It's like a hotel, but it's month to month apartments and they're all over the world. Yeah. It's cool as fuck. I'm not kidding, dude.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
If you want to move to San Francisco, you dial in San Francisco.
They come in
3 times a week. Ooh, they clean just like a hotel, everything, but it's fully furnished. No, 3 times a week. But it's fully furnished, and it's an actual apartment, like a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom actual apartment in some cool-ass building in the downtown area, wherever you want to live.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Oh, yeah. So we're getting a San Francisco one. That way we ain't going to buy furniture. We can sell this. We have the money to go. Or if we sell this, we can also stay here so she can work.
Mm-hmm. Do you think if you went to San Francisco, you would continue your...
No, I don't know how far away San Francisco is from here.
Five and a half hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it's a 2-day boat ride from here to San Francisco, I'm not fucking driving.
Yeah, it's 2 days boat ride.
How fast does a boat go?
About 5 to 6 nautical miles an hour. Are you done with this?
So what you do is you do it by knots. So you kind of say...
Knots or miles?
Knots.
Not are knots miles?
No. 1 knot equals 1 mile, but 2 knots equals 1.6 miles. 3 knots equals about 2.3 and a half miles. But you go by knots because that's how fast you're gonna go. You go by knots.
It is.
So you just kind of forget miles per hour. Right. And you just go by knots. So if you want to do it by miles per hour, this boat and full speed will go about 6.5 miles an hour.
Do sailboats have motors?
Yeah, I have a motor. I could take you out right now.
Yeah, I could.
We tear off the lines.
Do you have a casting reel?
I have everything.
We should cast something real quick.
Shit, let's go. All right. Love you, audience. It's been fun.
Say goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Say goodbye.
Goodbye. Later on.
Did you have fun? We had a great time. We will see you next time on A Beer with Friends.
A Beer with Friends. Let's get it
with
in.
Our best friends
this is not
and
as
my brother.
High energy exit as it was an intro. It is 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's late. We're drinking. All right, later, guys.
Later.
Yo, guys. We just want to thank you for listening, and hope you guys have a good time listening to all our chatter. As much as we had talking about it. Love you.
Say love you.
Mm-hmm.
And Maddie's about to go to sleep. And
say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're getting from her. Love you guys. Tune in next time where we're going to continue our conversations and see where the road takes us. Yeah. If you guys got any questions, comments, concern, bitches, moans, groans, or complaints, feel free to email us at abeerwithfriends@gmail.com. Again, that's abeerwithfriends@gmail.com. You know it's time. Later.